This week on the Donut Box Podcast, we're playing Grand Theft Auto, talking about how the Ice Bucket Challenge is making a comeback. Micah's got some cool arrest stories, and we talk about some of our favorite roller coasters.
And speaking of roller coasters, you're going to see how bad our driving is here on Grand Theft Auto. You ready for this, man? I mean, it's so atrocious. It's so atrocious.
Yeah, some of us more than others.
Speaking of.
Perfect. All right.
Anyways.
Well, it's another, I'll let you lead the way. It's another right, wonderful week. We are here on the Donut Box Podcast. We made it through Easter and WrestleMania. We're not going to make this a WrestleMania podcast like the last one, but I probably will share some things, some thoughts maybe towards the end of the podcast. But Micah, you got some cool arrest stories for us today. But other than that, dude, are you excited?
Jeez.
Dude, you cannot. This is why I don't let Micah drive anywhere.
No, I'm telling you, it's like what's always fun is we don't talk about the setup that I have. Like the setup that I have, I've got it plugged in, like my controller plugged in directly into the computer. And sometimes it works really, really well. And sometimes it just be wanting to drive me into a wall. I'm not sure why.
Don't blame the technology. It's a user error.
Hey, no. I work in IT. We've always blamed the technology, baby. Well, not really. We always blame the user too. But anyways, let's talk about some funny arrest stories. Man, both of these are from the good old town of Augusta, Georgia. I would say that Chris is from Augusta, but he gets a little touchy when I say that.
No, I don't understand why. I grew up there. I will tell people I grew up there, but I'm not from there. I'll claim Lubbock, Texas. I'm from there, but I grew up in Augusta.
There you go.
Okay, wait, before you get into it, sorry, rabbit hole. You know when they announce fighters and they say they were like from Detroit, Michigan by way of Miami, fighting, Florida.
Or like it's like born in Detroit but fighting out of, and it's like the different city.
That makes sense, but when it says by way of, that never made sense to me. By way of, what does that mean?
I don't know. I guess that means that's where they at now. It's like they don't come out that area. And oh, Chris, he come out of Augusta, Georgia. But my first story, man, I don't know if you've heard about this one. This was from 2023. It was an article that popped up, I guess, a way late for me. And it was a lady got mad because the Popeyes forgot her biscuits. Did you hear about this?
Oh, that's not good.
So the lady got mad because Popeyes forgot her biscuits. So she goes back through the drive-thru a second time, and they end up giving her biscuits. But apparently she was so mad, bro, she drove through the Popeyes. Like, she drove into the Popeyes.
I've actually saw this. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you heard about that? I was just like, how Augusta is this? It's just like, that is like straight up Augusta. It's like, I didn't get my biscuit.
Before you get into it, which Popeyes was it?
The one on Walton Way.
Which part of Walton Way? Because there's parts of Walton Way that are a little sketchy, and then there's parts of Walton Way that's really nice.
I don't know. I'd have to look up the actual location. It just said it was Popeyes on Walton Way. But I'm assuming it's in the sketchy part of Walton Way because all the employees, I mean, you can't really judge by Popeyes employees, but still. And then the other one, bro. So this one happened here recently, and I don't know if you've heard about this one. The shift leader would be proud, man. If you have never seen the shift leader videos, he's really funny. You should look it up. But this man was arrested because he had his kids, age 1, 6, and 10, out in the car while he was interviewing at the McDonald's.
No way.
Yeah,
wait,
did you hear about that?
For child neglect or what?
Yeah. Yeah. He got arrested for child neglect.
Hold on. Sorry.
I'm way out in the desert, man. I'm way out in the desert. Okay. Where are you at?
I'm catching up with you. Oh, I see you.
I'm going to pick your behind up.
How mad would you be if I rocket launched you?
You can't rocket launch me. Watch. Evasive maneuvers. I bet you can't.
Bet you I can. Okay.
Anyways. But yeah, bro, I was just like, the moment I saw that, I was like, oh, man, shift leader would be, he'd be like, see, this is the kind of employees I need. Abandon your kids, offer to McDonald's. It's like, but my thing is, the struggle is real. Yeah, well, I mean, I was just saying, like, the struggle is real. You're trying to find a job, and you got your kids with you. I'm not saying, like, some people, obviously, he's looking for a job, so, you got me. Yep. But you didn't bring me down, though. But some people, I mean, what are you going to do if you can't afford child care or whatever? Because child care is expensive. And if you don't got a job, like, what are you going
to
do?
At least he made it to the job interview. I will give him that much.
Yeah, he did make it to the job interview. I don't know if he got the job. I mean, he got arrested, so maybe not, but.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's so crazy. On a scale of 1 to 10, how hard is it for you to eat a Popeye's biscuit?
Oh, man, without, like, drinking something? Like, without some water or something? Oh, man, it's pretty tough. It's pretty tough. I'm telling you, you need to that should be a challenge. How many Popeye's biscuits can you eat no water? Because I probably only get like 1 to 2 down. I mean, they're pretty dry. They're pretty dry.
Yep. Okay. Did you ever try the Popeye's chicken sandwich when that whole thing was going around?
Yeah, but it wasn't that great. I don't know why people were all over it. Did you? Did you try it? I feel like that was like a pandemic thing. I wouldn't say that was a pandemic thing, but
no, it was before the pandemic, and a lot of people were like, "Yeah, see, everybody was fine until they tried to mess with the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich." But let me tell you something, dude. They replaced the meat in Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich because Chick-fil-A done fell off. I'm gonna be the first one to say that it's fell off, and it's not good. Yeah, Chick-fil-A has definitely changed up their recipe, man. And here's the thing. Chick-fil-A right now, it's a good snack. Like, I don't consider it a meal anymore because I will eat Chick-fil-A and I'll get hungry, like, 2 seconds
later. For me, that's kind of how it always was. Like, I don't know. I always had...
No. Maybe, like, since COVID, yes.
But, like, for me, I always felt like, oh, man, I want, like, 2 chicken sandwiches right now. Like... but then again, I'm fat. I like a lot of food, so maybe that's what it is. But, hold on.
Oh, they're trying to pit maneuver.
Oh, wait. Harry, you going to hop in this helicopter. We're going to get out of here. Oh,
yeah, yep. So here's the thing I also want to talk about. I'm not driving because everybody knows I'm not good at driving helicopters.
Oh, you and the other helicopter.
Yeah. Here's the thing I want to talk about. Dude, did you know that the ice bucket challenge is making a comeback?
Bro, the ice bucket challenge, like, from 2014?
Yeah. Have you not seen people on – well, I guess you said you were, like, off socials for a little bit. But, yeah, it's like, I nominate so-and-so, da-da-da-da-da, and it's like, ice bucket challenge. And I'm like, how is this coming back again?
I mean, it's for a good cause. As long as they're like pointing it back to the what was ALS, like ALS.
No, it's for a different cause now.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
So it ain't for old Lou Gehrig's disease no more.
No, I guess not.
Okay. Well, you want to go back to town, do some gambling or something?
Yeah.
Michael
loves the casino. That man is obsessed with it.
Yeah, I got my penthouse up in the casino. What you talking about,
Willis? This man spent $3 million of fake GTA money so that he could have a penthouse.
Now, I will say this. Before people be saying something, no, I haven't got one of those shark cards. This was all from heists and from saving that money up. So you can't judge me. Can't judge me because I spent that hard-earned money on that. But yeah, I got a nice penthouse.
Did you ever do the ice bucket challenge in 2015, 2016?
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask you too. But yeah, I did it. I actually did it with my ex-girlfriend's family. And really? Yeah, so it was kind of funny because she had a step parent, right? Like, she had a stepdad. And I remember doing this ice bucket challenge in their backyard. And what I thought was, I didn't realize this, but like, apparently, my ex went by her, how do you put this? Like, their maiden name, like, from her first marriage. And so, like, I said her stepdad's name with, like, the maiden last name. And I remember he was like, cut the camera off, cut the camera off. And he was like this, kind of swole Mexican guy. And he was like, don't you ever associate my name with that last name ever again. I was just like, oh, I'm sorry. I thought y'all had like, the same. It was like way early in our relationship. So I had no clue. But I just remember that. And yeah, it was some people be doing it, doing the most, though. They'd be doing like some huge ice bucket stuff. They'd be doing all sorts of. I don't know if this was just a West Texas thing, but did you ever see anybody do, instead of ice bucket, they did like the dirt challenge, where literally they just had a whole bucket full of like a dirt and they got dust dumped on them pretty much?
No, everyone I heard about that was doing the ice bucket challenge they did it. Now, I think I've told y'all this, but this was around the period where I was with my ex and I was not allowed to have social media. And I know what you're thinking. Christopher, you are a grown man. Why didn't you have social media? Bro, I was not allowed to.
Let's not make this narcissist part three. Definitely
not. But yeah, so I knew it was a thing, but I kind of missed the whole spiel of it. And so I didn't do it, nor did I know anyone that actually physically did it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't know anybody that did it.
Yeah, I knew quite a bit of people who did it. But then again, I mean, you on social media, you see quite a bit of people do it.
What is like
everybody will follow a trend?
One trend that you saw that you kind of was like, man, that was kind of fun. I would love to do that again.
Shoot, you asked me that. I don't know of any right off the top of my head. To be real with you.
Have you seen the ChatGPT roast? Have you seen that trend?
No. What's that?
You put a picture of yourself or whoever it is. Like, you just put any picture in ChatGPT and you ask it to roast you. It's pretty hilarious.
I'm sure it's great. ChatGPT, I know it's collecting a lot of data, but it's fun to talk to. It really is. Like, there's some funny stuff. Have you ever had it like write you a story or write you a movie and like you just give it some parameters and you just like write me a story, write me a movie?
Oh, clothes. I hate when I get clothes.
Yeah, I got clothes too. I ain't trying to do
dang
that.
It. No, I've never done that. But what I did do was I put in a picture of our staff team and I with the ChatGPT roast and I asked it like, can you guess what our roles are just based on the people in this picture? And it was probably, I'd say, 75% accurate. And then I asked it, it was like, okay, ChatGPT, if we were all superheroes, who would we be, like Marvel superheroes? And it was funny to like watch it assign the superheroes. ChatGPT is hilarious, dude. Like, I use it a lot to help me like format thoughts or just kind of like be a sounding board. It's a really good sounding board. But if you ask it to like create again, and I don't want to make this an AI episode, but if you ask it to like create a PDF or like images or whatever, like it has a lot of bugs that it still needs to work out, because I asked it to do something for me like three different times and it was adding its own stuff. And it was just, I was like, dude, what are you doing? Like, please stop.
Oh, I should have saved it, bro. So last week, I was editing, cause I always do our own, thumbnails and whatnot. Like, typically no AI, maybe part of the background. But again, a lot of what you're talking about too, is if you say, create me an image or whatever, a lot of times it don't come out the way you want it to, or it's got a bunch of extras and it tends to be a lot more work than if you just make it yourself sometimes. So, but what I will do is I'll ask it, I'll say, hey, is this thumbnail, good for the topic that I chose or whatever? Is this a good thumbnail? And it'll rank it between 1 and 10 to be like, yeah, scale of 1 to 10, this is a pretty good one, or nah, here's what you need to improve on or whatever. Right. And so I put it in there and it said, oh yeah, this is a great thumbnail. And it said, do you want us to do anything? Like, we can make it into a 9x16 image, which is like the shorts images. And, you know, if you follow our channel over here at Donut Box Pod, you know that we'd be putting out shorts of the episodes every week too. So I was, and so, you know, I've got to create that as well. So I thought, oh man, if ChatGPT can just create what I already have and just make it into a shorts version, great. So I said, sure, you know, it, bro, I should have saved it because, it made us, and of course we have our faces, right? But it manipulated our faces. It made me bald.
Oh no.
And then it like made you, it, you had like this big nose and like, bro, you look Jewish. You look Jewish as mess. And I was just like, okay.
I mean, I do have a big nose, but I mean, still, geez.
Yeah, but it was, it made it like big, big. I was like, dang, bro. Which I'm doing terrible on the horse betting, but I'm about to watch this main event.
I'm doing pretty good.
You already won something?
Yeah, I won a couple. Now I have a question, and this was going to be part of my questions. Now, we have like you've seen Back to the Future and you've seen the Jetsons and all that stuff, right? And pretty much now we have a lot of that stuff minus time travel. Do you think that movies are predicting technology that already exists? Or do you think that technology just follows the movies where it's like people would say, oh, that was cool in Back to the Future. Now let's create that. Or do you think movies are like, yeah, this technology already exists. So we're just giving you kind of a sneak peek. What do you think?
I think it's a mixture of both. I hate to say, you know, kind of a non-straight answer there, but I think it's a mixture of both. And reason being is I think there's some that's really easily attainable after the fact. Like one that comes to mind is one that comes to mind that nobody really thinks about, and you know, of course I didn't grow up in the 60s and 70s and whatnot, but a lot of sci-fi movies from back then had, you know, little sliding doors. And think about all of our grocery stores now, they all got the sliding doors, right? And we don't think about that and think, ooh, that's sci-fi, because who was really thinking that was going to be in the grocery stores? Everybody was kind of thinking that was going to be in their house or whatever, you know, it wasn't necessarily going to be like grocery store-esque. But I think that was kind of an easily attainable one. Like, okay, we can probably make these slidey doors and it'll probably work, no problem. And then, hold on, what's going on with my game? Oh, okay. For some reason it lost connection for a second. Anyways, and now it's still being goofy. I'm trying to place a bet on my horses. It lost connection. Here, we're good. Let's try it now. Anyways, sorry, world. But anyways, so I think some of those are pretty easily attainable, right? And then there's some, like you talk about Back to the Future, hoverboards. They call some of the stuff that we have hoverboards, but it's really not. I mean, they got wheels, right? There's no like anti-gravity. And I think that maybe it's because we've learned from, you know, they got those maglev trains, right, that are off of magnets, and they technically float kind of like that. But I think they're so expensive to where it's just not practical. So it's like, okay, yeah, they're out there, or maybe they were produced afterwards, but it's not necessarily practical. It just looks cool. So I think there's some of that. And then I think there's some that there probably was the technology out there. I don't want to be conspiracy theory, but I mean, the military's be developing stuff all the time, and then it gets released to the public later on. So, I mean, there's plenty of stuff that was invented first and then, you know, comes out to us later. Well,
even like from Back to the Future, like the whole like video Zoom type deal, like now everyone does that. Like when, even in Back to the Future too, when he was able to like video Zoom his boss or whatever, or even on the Jetsons when they're able to look at each other, the screen, or even from like James Bond when they're able to talk to the watch and all that. So I'm kind of like, is it really already that this technology is out there and movies are predicting it? Or is it like some developer is like, oh man, you know, it'd be really cool if I saw this in a movie, now I want to make this into a reality. Maybe it's
I think it's probably the latter, but at the same time, I mean, I think it also is a little bit of natural progression because, I mean, if you think about it, people are using telephones, right? And yeah. I remember back in the day when we were talking on the telephone, especially like, say I lived in Germany and everybody was like, oh yeah, wouldn't it be so cool if we could like see each other right now? And I think anytime there's a need, you know, I'm sure that it was like, okay, this is probably what it's going to be. But the reason I don't think it was out there and probably some developer said, oh, there's a need or, oh, this would be cool is because, yeah, they had the little Zoom bit in Back to the Future, but look at what ended up happening as well. When he got fired, it still faxed him a piece of paper, which that definitely don't happen. Like, you're fired.
But I mean, like, I don't know. That was still kind of, fax was still pretty new. Like,
no, it was.
Around whenever that movie was filmed. So it's like, oh yeah, like we're still using some of this technology.
I tell you what's kind of freaky. Here's another example that's kind of an example, but kind of not. So going back to, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory or Willy Wonka. I haven't seen the newer one with Timothy Chalamet, but
Wonka?
Whatever. Yeah, I haven't seen that one. But the Mike TV part, like in both of them, where it's like, and especially the newer one with Johnny Depp, where it's like, oh, now you can just reach in. We haven't gotten there, but it's fairly close. I mean, think about it. We're closer to that than we've ever been because we could order things. Literally, it's connected to your home network, right? And so I've seen it before where it'll say, hit this button for me to send this to your phone. And it'll, you know, you could send you things so you could buy something on your phone. If you have something like Amazon and you're in a town where it's 1 hour delivery, you could have it in an hour, right? So it's like, and you could literally just order it straight through your TV. So it's close to that and it's getting there. But I think a lot of it is just natural progression, and maybe a lot of visionaries see that coming. Maybe I don't know.
I
don't know. It's kind of
and I hope I'm not like revealing too much here on the podcast. But my boss, he doesn't like going into any like store because he's like, I have this all on my phone. I can literally order something and it can be in my hands, literally the same day. He's like, so why would I go to a store? And I'm like, I get that. It's just an interesting way of thinking because that is where the world is now. But like me, you know, I'm old school. I'm like, I have to go to a store. Like I have to physically hold the thing in my hand because I don't trust my judgment online because there have been so many times where I've ordered something online and it is not it's not been what I want it to be. So.
No, I understand. I think for me, it depends on what we're talking about. Like if it's a case of Coke, I know what a case of Coke's going to be like, but if it's one of those, okay, I'm buying an article of clothing or even shoes or something like that, it's like, oh no, I got to be there to try them on because I don't want to have it. Cause it then becomes more of a hassle of, okay, it comes in, it doesn't fit. Now I got to go through the process. And even though they've made it fairly easy to send it back, you still got to send it back, get the right size. And you're still guessing, right? You're still guessing going, okay, I'm the next size up. There are some things that it's like, okay, it's a lot easier. Just go to the store, try it on. Okay, this works. And even if you don't, say you make the wrong choice at the store, you could still go back that same day in a few minutes and say, okay, this actually didn't work for me and get either the refund or replace it with the other size right then and there. So I think there are some methods to where it's still more convenient in the store versus online. And then there's some where it's like, okay, online, I don't even have to leave my house. I can just have it come to me. I think there's some merit to it. I guess mine's more of a blend. It depends on what you're getting, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on, this is going to be the first horse that I have win. Yes, I've lost so much money.
I've been on a knock on wood, but I've actually been on a pretty good streak right now. So I've been
I've lost like 50K so far.
No way.
Yeah, Drew, I'm lost.
Dude, that's wild, man.
Anyways,
if you could like open your own store and sell anything like brick or mortar, whether it's online shop or whatever, what would it be that you are like?
You already know.
Is it a Gemini Jet store? Is that what it'd be?
Yeah, and I don't know if you know this. I actually looked into it. I was going to – so for those of you who don't know, they're little die-cast planes that are either 1 in 400 scale, so they're real small, or 1 in 200, super niche market. So not a lot of people collect them. In fact, I've only talked to one person in my entire life that actually – like in person. I've talked to people on forums, online and whatnot, but one person – in real life who actually collects them. Like that's, I've only met one other person out there. That's how niche it is. But I thought about doing a brick and mortar store, even an online store. They're very particular actually. And the reason I did not is because they have a lot of rules and regulations. So, and I'm sure because they are so niche, they can kind of do whatever they want, but and they have their own stores already, both online and brick and mortar. So I'm sure they don't want a ton of competition either. But essentially what their rules were, so to sell Gemini Jets, you had to have a brick and mortar store. And this was about 10 years ago. And so you had to have a brick and mortar store. You could not have just a strictly online store. You had to have some sort of brick and mortar setup. The first order that you had to place was a minimum of $5,000.
Whoa.
And it was, yeah, which I mean, for some businesses, that's not much to get into, but you're talking about $5,000 because each one of these at the time retailed for anywhere from $25 to $50, right? And so each individual unit, so you're talking about filling a store because think about how much $5,000 would be because, of course, you're buying them for less than that. So each individual piece would have been $10 to $15 and you make a markup of $10 to $15 to $20 or even a little more than that, you know, based on the size and whatnot. The bigger ones a little bit more expensive, obviously, but I was going for the really small ones. And so this was like, okay, you're going to fill your store. But again, with such a niche market, you have a brick and mortar. One, you have to be really good at marketing. Two, you have to be incredibly – I mean, you got to be in a town where you know. That's why most of them are – there's only one in the state of Texas that's a retailer for Gemini Jets, and they're in Dallas. And I mean, that makes sense because Dallas is so big, they have a market, probably a little market, but a market. But each state there's only a handful of states that actually have them. Like, in fact, I looked at North Carolina. North Carolina has none, no retailers at all. So, you know, it's one of those to where it would be fun to run the store. Would it be profitable? No, you would have to, you'd probably have to be just insanely rich. You know what I mean? To where it's not about the money. You're just kind of having fun running a store. If that makes sense. And I even called some of the other – there's some other vendors like Herpa, Phoenix Jets, some of the other ones like that. And they had all sorts of crazy rules like that too where you had minimum purchase orders and things like that. And you're just like, man, that's why a lot of the retailers, they'll buy them from Gemini Jets themselves for like – they'll wait for something to go on sale. And then they will sell it on eBay for like just a few dollars more or something like that. And just make razor thin profits because that's about the only way they can do it. But anyways, long story. That's the I looked into it, but that would be the store that I'd want to have. How about you? I feel like I'm going to take a guess. Let me take a wild stab at this. Would it have something to do with wrestling figures?
Yeah, they would. I would have a very big section, and this is like for when I become an old retired man. But I definitely would want to open like, and I know this isn't, it'll probably be obsolete by the time I'm an old man, but like having an old fashioned toy store, just where kids can go, kind of like from Home Alone 2 when like, and the kids can just enjoy and play with the toys and all that. But like really and truly just that, just to like give back to the kids. Because I remember all the time, like going to KB Toys or Toys R Us and like, I would love to go into toy stores, but now it's like you can't find anything like toys. Now it's like, okay, you got to go to Walmart or you get them online or whatever it is. But like,
you have kids sections at big box stores is what you have. Yep. It's like you have a kid section and that's where you're used to.
Wow.
That's what kids are used to now.
Yep, exactly. I'm going to go play blackjack because,
you're on a cold streak.
I'm on a cold streak.
I
would have a very big WWE action. It's crazy to me that WWE action figures Now it's mostly collectors, and kids do still buy them, but like those toys are, people still buy them, man. They're still making them and all that. Like, it's amazing to me. And so like there's some pretty rare ones out there. And again, I'm, since moving and everything, I've not had as much disposable income as I'd like to buy some, but at the same time, like, I still buy one or two now and then. It's still like, oh yeah, if there's one I really like or really valuable, like I get in the market to play or pay for it. So and it's what the funny part of that community is, like trading, that's what I enjoy.
Yeah, no, I totally get you. It's kind of interesting about the market that I was talking about with Gemini Jets as well. They, I heard a very wise man tell me one time that if you get in the market for Gemini Jets to like resell or to make profit, you're in the wrong business. It's strictly a hobby. Like, there is no, like, maybe to the right people, the very few right people, there's a trade value. But realistically, like, even I'm on some Facebook groups and things like that where you sell them, and I mean, stuff sits forever, you know what really? I mean, it's like you have to find the right person who wants that particular plane. Now I will say the biggest one, oh man, I got beat, the biggest one that I've seen was, of course, they did an edition for Donald Trump's private plane.
Oh yeah.
And so what was funny was there was a lot of investors who like was like, okay, and how it happens is, and I'm sure it's a lot with like kind of the figures as well. They have releases and re-releases, and then they have different versionings of it. And so all of these collectors were like, oh man, Donald Trump's plane. Like, we're going to scoop these all up. And this was around the first election that like the first time he got elected. And so everybody's like, oh man, like we're going to scoop them up. And they did shoot up in value because everybody bought them and it was a limited quantity, right? And so there's, oh man, it was, and so a lot of the collectors ate them up. Well, then they came out with two different releases of it. And then the value went to the floor. And now you can buy one for regular price. And so it's one of those things, it's like, again, it, for some of those, especially like Gemini Jets and kind of the, it's like you buy them for keeps. You don't buy them with the expectation of, okay, I'm going to sell this or this is like, you might get lucky. Like, I have one in my collection right now, to where online it retails for anywhere from 2,500 to $5,000, but I got a piece missing, and that piece missing makes it obsolete. So it's like, okay, well, but again, it was just kind of a luck deal. So
yeah, that's how it goes. If it's like, oh yeah, the packaging's damaged, or this is that, or like one thing falls out of place, it's hard. But with like what you're talking about, we call those chases. So if like you have a wrestler and all the main guys, like all the regular ones, they have red trunks, but then there's a couple that have green trunks, then the green trunks are more valuable. So it's like, so I get it. And there's a couple of mine that was like, oh yeah, these all sold out on this one site and now nobody can get them anymore. So I have a couple that are like really valuable. One I'm kind of sad about, cause my cat, I won't mention her name, knocked one of them down and now the packaging is ripped. So now it's to me. But as a kid, like, I never got like, oh yeah, like keep them in the package. Cause as a kid, you're just wanting to like play with them. So it's like,
You just want to have a good time with them. And I still have a box of Gemini Jets and kind of some of the other ones that I did take out of the packaging. And of course, they're all broke up and engines are missing and all this other stuff, but they still have value to me. Like, I won't ever get rid of them. And I'll probably let my kids play with them because it's just like, okay, they had value to me as a kid and they were fun to play with and whatnot. But, you know, it was kind of interesting. You know, you're kind of newer to collecting those things, but I remember there was kind of a period of transition where it's like, okay, understanding that these are collector's items and what a collector's item actually means versus, okay, you can do whatever to this. But nah, it's cool. The only other one, and you kind of touched on this with the different trunks and stuff like that. How does defects work with, are they more valuable, or are they just like, oh, this is defective, so we'll give it to you for less of a price?
Define defective.
So in some modes of collecting, I've noticed, like, okay, there's a John Cena wrestler, right? And every shirt, say he has a shirt on and it's iconic, but there's one decal that's missing, or there's one little feature that's missing, and it's just a factory defect. Like, a certain number of them just had this defect, or something happened. In some modes of collecting, that's super worth way more money. Like, it'd be like, oh, this is defective, so you'll have a one of a kind almost. Are wrestling figures like that? Or do, in another sense, there's, you know, if they have a defect, like for Gemini Jets, if you have a defect where like a decal or something is missing, they will give it to you discounted. They'll be like, this is damaged.
They do that. If it's like damaged packaging, or like if it's from a site, then yes. But if you go to Walmart and like, it's like, oh yeah, because like stealing figures out of boxes and replacing them and then trying to return them, Walmart people don't know if it's the right wrestler or not. So they'll just put it back in there and then kind of like discount it like $5. And it's like, dude, like this is worthless to me. Like this is absolutely worthless. But I mean, yeah, there's not, unless it's like, oh yeah, this one has green trunks or it's a color thing, then it's definitely not worth anything.
Going back, I'll give you an even better example. And the reason I found this out, so sports cards are one. I did a whole deep dive because of the whole Nolan Ryan collection that I have and whatnot, right? And apparently one of the most valuable Nolan Ryan cards is a Topps card, right? The Topps company. Yeah. And literally there was only a certain number of these cards that did not have the Topps logo. Like, you have the Topps logo in some other places, but at the bottom left-hand corner, they did not have those. And there's only like one of 50 there's only like 50 out of the bunch that have that. And apparently they're worth a stupid amount of money because of this defect, right? And so I've noticed in some collecting realms, it's like defects like that, people chase the, oh, it's a one of a kind versus, you know, in mine, it's like, oh, the fact we're screwed up, we'll give it to you for a discount.
Cards are different. Trading cards are a little bit different than action figures. With stuff like that, it's like, oh yeah. Ooh, I'm on a 14 and the dealer has an 8. Should I stand or should I hit?
Man, I would hit it.
I would hit it. Yeah, I'm going to hit.
Because if they got a 10 under there, well, you were going to lose anyways.
I was going to lose either way. Now, this is kind of like a shift question, and this is what I want to talk about. Do you remember riding your first roller coaster? Because Micah and I have talked about our numerous trips to Six Flags, and I would consider us both roller coaster enthusiasts.
Aficionados.
Yeah.
yeah, right.
But what was the first roller coaster you ever rode, like legit roller coaster? And what got you into, because before you were a little kind of.
Oh, I was terrified. Finished.
Yeah, terrified.
But
what made you change?
So the first one that I ever remember riding is we went to an amusement park in Germany. You're going to laugh at this, and the whole world might laugh at this, and that's okay. I was one of these kids. We went to this, what was it called? It was called Hollywood Park or something like that. Holiday Park. That's what it was called. It was this place in Germany called Holiday Park. And it was actually a water roller coaster. It was literally just two drops, right? You know how the water roller coasters go. But the first drop was fairly big, especially for a kid. And it was kind of like this military chaperone trip. And neither one of my parents were on this trip. It was just kind of, you know, other parents and whatnot. And, bro, I remember getting in line and getting up to the front of the line and seeing how big that first drop was. Because looking at it from afar, you're like, oh, yeah, I can do it. And then remember and looking at it, bro, I was like, I got to get out of line. I got to get out of line. And I remember that parent was like, nah, like we're this far. Like we got to go. And like, bro, I started crying and everything. And then they finally got me on there and it was okay. Like I remember just being terrified of the heights aspect. It wasn't necessarily like the thrill of it or anything. It was just it was tall, you know? And then I remember that Six Flags trip that you were kind of referring to, where it was like, man, I just didn't want to do anything.
Micah didn't want to ride nothing. Micah didn't even want to go.
Let's just cancel the whole trip.
Yeah. I remember we were like, they're like, we're going to go to Six Flags the next day. And I was like, cool, awesome, let's go. I remember when Micah, like, because Micah stayed up too late. And I was like, Micah, bro, you probably need to go to bed. And he's like, no, I'll be fine. I'll wake up. I'll be ready. And then, like, Micah, dang it, the dealer got 20. Then, like, Micah's parents are trying to wake him up. And he's like, no, let's just cancel the whole trip. I was like, bro, we're going to Six Flags today. You better get your butt up. Like, we're going. And then I remember when we got to the park, Michael was like, oh, that ride's kind of too scary. I'm so scared.
Yep. I was so scared, bro. But I remember the one that changed it all for me was I forget the name, Georgia Cyclone.
Mm-hmm.
That was the one that changed it because, I'm going to take a risk. Double me.
There you go.
Ah.
Did you double down?
Yeah, I did. Well, I don't know if I lost, but I only got a 2, so I'm hoping for the dealer to screw up. But anyways, Georgia Cyclone, I remember getting on that one, and I got screwed on that one.
Yep.
But I remember going and being like, oh man, this is really fun, and like I like the feeling of the roller coaster and whatnot. And after that, I just remember being okay. Let's try whatever. And I remember the second one that was really, really fun that I thought, oh man, this is really fun, was Superman. The Superman roller coaster. Oh, I got
that. Oh, yeah.
But, and for those of you who don't know, Six Flags Over Georgia, Superman, it was a lot of what I enjoyed was, you know, at first you sit, then it brings you up. So it's like you're flying, you know, it's like you're flying like Superman.
Yeah.
And so, but for me, tell me if I'm wrong, like, yes, it's high and yes, you're looking straight down and whatnot. I feel like kind of being at that angle, it's not so intense. Like, I don't.
Yeah, it's really not intense. It's really not.
And I think it's probably just because you're going into the wind and everything like that. Maybe it's because you're way more aerodynamic than you. Yeah. So it was, I remember that one being like, oh yeah, that was nice. The one I was telling my wife.
Like that. Anyways, go ahead.
The one I was telling my wife about the other day was the Ninja, which you told me that one changed, right?
They changed it to, I think it was called the Phoenix. Maybe it was called the Phoenix. But I saw a post that said, if you ever rode the Ninja at Six Flags Over Georgia, you may be entitled to compensation.
Yeah, that's great. And the joke, and we don't say too much folklore language on the Donut Box podcast, but Chris will tell you, like, every time. So there was never a line. And the reason was because this roller coaster, it sucked. Let's be real. It sucked, right? And the padding on there was really, it was a sit down roller coaster. But kind of the seats, there was not a ton of seat underneath you, and you kind of had, you know, you're holding on like this.
And there was a headrest too.
There was a headrest, and they were like hard as a rock. Like, think about the most weathered padding you can imagine. And it was just, they were all hard as a rock. And so once you're in there, I mean, it jerks you around. And so the joke I would always make is, and I bet you the workers at Six Flags always thought this was funny, because we would get locked in. I'd be like, yep, I'm about to get my ass kicked by the Ninja. And I would come there. We'd come back into the station. I'd be like, yep, I got my ass kicked by the Ninja. Because, bro, it hurt every time. And I think the only reason we really liked it is because it was one of the very few roller coasters that didn't have a line. You could ride it multiple times.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. You could literally ride it multiple times. The other part that I was telling my wife about too was to get out to it. It was kind of out on this boardwalk to like walk over there, but it was over water, and the water was like muddy, nasty water. And if you remember, I remember like spitting in it, and there'd be like koi, or not koi, like those carp fish would like come up, and they'd be like attacking your spit and stuff. So
it was nasty.
It was just like all around that roller coaster was just a bad experience. But I think as a kid, you're just sitting there going, you know what? I could ride this multiple times without getting out of line and getting back into line, because the workers, they wouldn't care. You'd pull back in and be like, can I go again? They're just like, yeah. They just leave you strapped in. Just like, sure, go for so, it.
The first one I ever went on was – oh, I hope it doesn't get – I got blackjack.
Nice.
So the first one I ever went on, this was before I met you, and this kid was my best friend in kindergarten, and his name was Matthew Henson. And so in first grade, he was like, hey, like, my parents, like, he was the only kid too. I don't know what it is about me having my wife's an only child. Maybe I just befriend them.
I guess so.
But he was like, hey, like, I don't have a brother. And the plan was, like, they were going to take me to Mississippi with them. And they were like, we're going to stop in Atlanta. We're going to go to the Braves. We're going to go to Six Flags, all that stuff. And so I don't know what it was. Maybe that was my first time, like, being away from home for a really long time. But I didn't want to, like, I remember being like, yeah, I want to go to the Braves and Six Flags, but I don't want to go to Mississippi for some odd reason. Who knew why I wouldn't want to go to Mississippi? But I remember we went, like, I'd never ridden on a roller coaster, and the Georgia Cyclone was the first one they ever took me on. And I remember being like, oh, wow, like, this is crazy. And I remember riding that one. And then I wasn't tall enough to ride some of the other rides. But then the next time we went with my parents' friends, Mike and Dee, and I could ride some other rides. And I remember looking at the Georgia Scorcher, and that's the one where stand up. And I remember being like, yeah, I'll never go on a stand-up roller coaster. Like, I thought that was, like, nuts or insane. And then my dad and them were like, yeah, they wanted to go on the ride called Acrophobia, which is the free fall drop. You remember that one?
Yeah.
And I remember them being like, you know, last year, some people got stuck up there for like an hour. And I was like, bro, but like, we still went on it. And I remember it just being like, woo, and it went down.
I hate those.
With you on that time that you just shared about. And I remember we rode, was it the Dahlonega Mine Train? That was kind of like a roller coaster.
The Dahlonega Mine Train. And then we went to Looney Tunes Town and we rode like that. What was it? The
Wile E. Coyote one.
It was such a kiddie roller coaster. Like, it had no drops or nothing to it at all.
And then I think it was the next time we went, they hadn't built Goliath yet. They hadn't built Goliath that first time we went. But then was it – when did we ride it again with when you went with us when we had the trunk chicken? Is that the first time we ever rode it?
You're talking about Goliath? I think so. I think so.
Do you want to tell them about the trunk chicken? We haven't told that story in a long time.
We haven't told that story in such a long time. So I just remember – we were going to go, and I got a story about your brother with this trip too. And we were going to go to Six Flags. And I remember leaving early. Like, we left early in the morning. Then again, I thought everything was early back then. And, I remember driving, and we get up to Atlanta, and I remember this was like 10 in the morning. If that,
yeah,
I remember going 10, to,
'cause we left early. Yeah.
Yeah, well, and it was like right when KFC opened, and we go to KFC.
And the park opened at 10. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and I was just like, why the heck are we at KFC? Like, I didn't know we were at KFC. And so Chris's dad picks up a bucket of chicken, and I'm like, okay. I didn't think nothing of it, bro. I didn't think nothing of it. And so we get to the park, and the whole plan was, you know, Chris's parents were like, okay, we'll take Matthew and y'all split up and we'll meet back at the entrance. I think it was what, like 11 or no, it was like
one
or two or something like that. And so we said, okay, that's fine. And so we went and rode some roller coasters and everything. And so my thought was, okay, we're going to get lunch in the park, right? Nah, that's not what happened. So we meet. Oh, yeah. And he was just like, make sure you still have your stamp so we can get back in and all this other stuff. And so we go out to the parking lot, and that bucket of chicken was in the trunk, and in the Georgia heat, had been sitting there for a few hours, and he pops that trunk, and it was like, it's lunchtime, boys.
And my mom had packed a cooler of drinks, I think. I'm pretty sure she had.
She had like a cooler of drinks, but it was just like, it's lunchtime.
Yeah, but remember, I don't know what happened. Maybe my dad was hungry, but my dad got really mad, like really mad before we went to go eat. And I just remember my dad like walking, like whenever my dad got mad.
Oh, he was hoofing it, man. He was hoofing it out that parking lot.
And I remember Micah like leaning over to him. He's like, man, your dad's really booking it, huh? And I like knew my dad was mad, like, because when my dad gets mad, he just doesn't say nothing, but he'll walk away. Like, he'll just walk. And like, that's how he's mad. And you remember, like, yeah, your dad's really booking it. And I was like, yeah. I was like, he's kind of mad. Now, I don't remember what he was mad about. But, yeah, we ate that trunk chicken. But what's the story with Matthew?
So, Matthew, if you're listening, shout out. But, you know, we were talking about the Georgia Cyclone. And that was kind of his rites of passage, too, man. Because I remember he didn't want – maybe this is what your dad was mad about. I don't know. But he didn't want to ride nothing
after
either.
Lunch. This happened after lunch.
It did. But he didn't want to ride nothing. He was like real combative. And so we talked him into like, nah, why don't you ride the Georgia Cyclone? It's not so bad. Like, we'll ride it with you and everything. And I remember your dad and Matthew was like in the line in front of us and we were behind him. And I just remember the closer we got to that roller coaster, boy, he just started wigging out. He was like, oh, man. He was just freaking out. And I'll just never forget, you know, you kind of file in at where you want to sit. And I remember he was like, well, we'll sit behind you. And the reason I remember this is because, you know, Chris and I were up front, like in front of him. And I just remember turning around at one point and – Matthew was just wigging, bro, and your dad was just laughing because he was just like, he was just holding on. Oh my God. And his dad was just rolling laughing. He thought it was the funniest thing.
Yeah, he was laughing. And my brother started crying, dude. Do you remember that?
Yeah, he did. He started crying.
And my dad was just laughing at him.
He was just laughing.
You're all laughing at him.
Yeah. And
I just remember like looking back and Matthew's crying. I'm like, he's crying so bad. And my dad is just looking at my brother and laughing.
Wow.
Oh man, that was so great.
I think they did a renovation of the Georgia Cyclone and now it's like wooden, but it's got like some metal aspects to it, doesn't it?
One of my favorites, and this was always like the after lunch, like, special. Like, after lunch, like, it's like, okay, like, after lunch, you don't want to go too hard. Like, dude, I just doubled down on that. That was great. 20 G's. Nice. You want to start easing back into it. And there was this ride, and it was called, now it's called Monster, is it called Monster Manor? House?
Monster Manor.
But it was called, don't cancel me, Internet. It was called Monster Plantation. Okay. Think about it. We live in Georgia. You connect the dots. And so it was almost like, you know, that ride at Disney, It's a Small World, after all. It was like their version of it. All that. And our goal was always to at the picture time, flip off the camera or I don't know, pull up your shirt at the camera.
Or do something stupid.
Yeah, I'm stupid. So it's just like,
I remember the first trip we ever did that, and I think that was, it was Chris had just gotten his Buick. I think that was the first time we did that one because, I remember after the trunk chicken situation, I remember talking to Chris, and we were like, okay, we have extra money, and we're gonna make sure that we eat in the park. Like, I remember that was like one of the consensuses. It's like, I don't care if it is expensive, we're gonna eat in the park. And so I remember we went to this place, and again, it's the summertime, it was hot, and this was just a spontaneous trip. It was just like, oh, Chris got a car, let's drive to Atlanta and go. And so I remember we ate this burrito. It was like this big burrito.
Let me put this – sorry to interrupt you. Let me put this into perspective for you. For the two of us together, it cost $21, and we thought that was outrageous prices.
Expensive. $21. We thought that was crazy.
For a burrito and a drink.
we were like, oh man, it didn't even come with the side. we were like, man, that's so expensive. Now that's like, that's normal.
You're doing really good.
Especially at an amusement park. And then so we ate these burritos, and it wasn't like we were like full, but it was enough to where we were looking at some of these roller coasters. At least I was, and I was like, man, I don't want to throw up. I'm not trying to get sick. So maybe we should do something. It's like, I don't care if we goof off on a kiddie ride, you know, in the meantime. Mm-hmm. And if one thing that we've learned about Six Flags or amusement parks, especially in the summertime when it's hot, you know, some of the more gentle rides or water rides, don't try to go on the water rides because the lines are stupid long.
Yep,
so,
yep.
So we're like, so what are we going to do? And this Monster Plantation, it was a little boat ride, you know, so it had water. It was gentle. We were like, you know what? All right, we'll go ahead and do that. And so the biggest thing that I remembered, because they changed it a lot now, but I remember being in line and there was this noise when you came out the other end, like to finish it. And back in the day, I think it was supposed to be like they changed it to a loud horn. But yep. When we went, it just sounded like a giant fart is what it sounded like. It just sounded like this big fart when you come out the back end of it. That sounded terrible, but that's what it was. And so I just remember that and going into it. And the first time we rode it, I'd never, you know, been on something like that. And it was like all these animatronics, these like wax figure stuff. And they're all, you know, it's supposed to be like a bayou full of monsters. It's like a Tim Burton film, except in South Georgia.
Yeah.
And it was just like goofy. And the best part is it's like, of course it's on a track pretty much, but towards the end, you know, it's like, don't go in the marsh. Don't go. It's like the sheriff. And he's like, don't go in the marsh. And it's, and you end up going in the marsh, you know, and,
little drop.
It had this little drop at the end, and it was like this like mist, but it was like this face in the mist, and then that's you come out the other side, and it like did the little fart noise and try to scare you.
It's crazy. We could tell some other stories from Six Flags, but did you ever, like, we went to Carowinds once, but did you ever go to any other place that had like roller coasters or big rides or anything like that? Or has it just been Six Flags for you?
Oh man, Chris, you don't remember the one in Amarillo?
I'm joking. That was the worst. I had to pay for that little roller coaster. Stop.
Yeah. Stop. What was that park called? I don't even remember.
It's Wonderland.
Wonderland or something like that. So to answer your question, no, not like a big amusement park like that. I mean, went to Six Flags Over Texas and whatnot, but it was only, there was like Joyland in Lubbock, which that don't count. Which, did they ever get new ownership where they're going to reopen that, or is that just still shut down?
It's still shut down. Did you not see it? Like when we went through last, they took out all the rides.
Yeah, I know. But I had heard rumors that like they were going to put another amusement park there or something. I don't know.
It's Lubbock, bro. They're not going to put anything there unless it's another restaurant.
Yeah, there you go. Or gas station. And then so I went there, went to that one in Amarillo, but really didn't go to anything else. I know you went to Fiesta, Texas here in San Antonio. I actually live here and I've never been to Fiesta,
Texas. I went to Fiesta, Texas, and Fiesta, Texas, it's like Six Flags, but it's different. I would say it's more more family friendly rides versus thrill rides. Like I would say it's not that bad. I've been to SeaWorld, which
I've heard that's not great.
Yeah, that was a bust. We did go to SeaWorld in Florida. And we rode a couple of the rides, and those were fun.
And you've been to Universal and stuff like that.
Been to Universal. So some of those roller coasters are great. And then Carowinds, which we went to Carowinds, I think it was one time for your birthday. I remember that.
Yeah, it was. It was in the seventh grade, whatever age. What is that? 12? 11, 12?
Yeah. Something like that. Did you like Carowinds? Was it?
Yeah, no, I liked Carowinds. But I just never got the chance to go back. But maybe in the future.
Maybe in the future.
There's a couple that I do want to go to and that I've heard is really, really good. the Six Flags up in New Jersey, of course, because it's King. There's a roller coaster called King to Call. That's, I think that's been like on our bucket list for a long time.
Yeah.
On that one. And that one shoots you, what is it, like 0 to 80 miles an hour and like shoots you up the hill pretty much. And then the other one that I've heard is really, really good, but it's kind of a private company, is Cedar Park. And that's,
yeah, I've heard that one's
up in Ohio. I've heard that one is really, really good. The only thing I don't like about it, and if you're from here, I'm sorry, but it's in Sandusky, Ohio. That's the reason I'm like, you know, I don't know. But no, I've always heard that that one is really legit. Like, I've heard a lot of good things about Cedar Park.
I have heard of Busch Gardens, and I've always wanted to go to Busch Gardens. Why not? I've been linked either way.
I think... Oh. 19. There's like one in Virginia, and then there's like one in Tampa, right?
Yeah.
I think.
Yep.
You know, my grandparents actually went to Busch Gardens, and they really liked it. They didn't go for the rides, though. Like, Busch Gardens literally is, there's a bunch of gardens. So they went for the, they went for like gardens. The garden and the scenery, but they really liked it.
We talked about, I definitely have enjoyed Goliath Six Flags. That is a big, big one. And then we talked about the Superman ride, and I'm going to tell this story again because it's for the live listeners, watchers, whatever. But we went to Six Flags. This was a different time. This is the time that we went to Six Flags, and my dad didn't know about it. And he called me, like, where are you guys? And we're like, we're in Atlanta at Six Flags. Six Flags? Oh, okay. Like, my dad came home, and he had no idea we're in Atlanta. That was a fun time. And so I remember it was about to rain, and my mom was like, okay, you guys only got like one more hour until we're about to go. And I remember being like, okay, we can ride the Superman ride. Like, haven't got to ride that ride yet, but we're going to ride it. And I remember, it was like, okay, we're getting in line, and it starts to rain, and they shut down the ride, and we're sitting there, and we're like, oh man, like, this ride is just, like, we're ready to go on it. I remember praying to God and being like, God, if you please let me get on this ride, like, this will be the last ride I ride for today. Please, Jesus.
Hold on. I gotta, this was not only, the people in line around us were probably like, oh my God, these kids are crazy. Cause we full on was like, I remember looking at you, you looked at me. It's just like, I believe in the power of God. And I believe if we ask, we shall receive. And so we full on prayed out loud. We were like, Lord Jesus, this will be our last ride if you let us ride the Superman right now. And I just remember like the moment we were like, amen. It was like the ride opened, and it was like, do what? And by that point, everybody had pretty much gotten out of line because they didn't want to wait. And so I remember being like, all right. And so I remember going on the ride, and then guess what we did? We went against our promise, and we ended up going on another roller coaster because the line was short. I remember being like, oh, God's going to get me for this. I was like, I told him that was going to be the last ride, and it wasn't.
Yep. also, my cat has decided to just be part of this podcast. I hope that's okay, ladies and gentlemen. But anyways, So God has answered not just one, but several of my, like, I call them my silly prayer requests, because it's like, that's more of a want than an actual need. So we get in line, and we're like, you know what? We still got like 20 minutes, and because all the rides are shut down, and we were like, there's a scream machine. There's no line for that. Let's get in line real quick. And so I remember we were like, okay, cool. And we sat. Did we sit at the back of the ride? Is that what we did?
We did.
And so the back of the ride, like,
little, yeah, go ahead.
Comes off the track, and I forgot to take my hat off. Right, so I forget to take my hat off, and we're riding on the scream machine, and we're like, yeah, great, get on. There's no line, none of that. And then my hat flew off. Like, my hat flew off. And while we were riding the ride, it was one of my favorite hats. So I was like, oh, man. And I remember there was a kid that maybe a couple months ago, he had gotten his head like decapitated because he lost his hat. Same park, not the same ride, but on the Batman ride. And he jumped the fence to go get it. And right as he was jumping the fence, like, boom, like, got decapitated. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to get that hat. Not going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember, but there was a lot of people's hats down there by that lake. I'll tell you that much.
And then I did it again when we went to Six Flags the last time, like 4 years ago. Remember when we were on those big swings, like that big swing ride? And I was like, oh, yeah, I don't need to take my hat off. Texas.
Yeah, I remember that. And it went right on the top of that building, too.
Yeah, it did.
Right on top of the building. Did you get booted, by the way?
Yes, I got booted. My internet was like, no. And I was on a hot streak. I was winning like 10 Gs every hand.
Yeah, I got my 50K back. I got my 50K back from losing from
Dude, I'm telling you.
The horse betting. But yeah, man, Six Flags has always been a pretty fun time. Over Texas, went twice. I would say my favorite, it's a little different, but pretty much the Titan and Goliath are kind of the same in my book. Maybe it's because they're orange and they got like one big drop in the rest of pretty much. And then my favorite one is Mr. Freeze. That one is like my favorite at that part. And I don't know why, man. That one's real fun. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask, would you ever want to go somewhere like Universal or Disney, or does that not interest you?
Yeah. So Universal more than Disney. Like, and Disney sounds fun in theory, but for me, I know one, it's expensive, right? Which, yeah, most theme parks are expensive, but yeah. I don't know. I feel like you get more bang for your buck at Universal, and there's some other things that I'd want to see, because isn't Wizarding World of Harry Potter at Universal?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'd want to go there. Like, there's some different stuff. Like, Disney sounds good in theory, but I don't know. At the same time, maybe not so much. It sounds like a lot of kids. You know what I mean?
It's not just a lot of kids, dude. It's a lot of work. Like, if you're planning to go eat at Disney, like, you got a court. It's a whole thing. I had to learn how to do it for our kids pastors conference because we were staying on Disney property, and so we had to, like, go to the Disney restaurants. But, dude, it is, like, it's a like, if you like planning and logistics and stuff, it's great, but it's a lot. But Universal, like, my wife loves Harry Potter, and she loves that. I'm like, I like it, but not as much as her. But like, it was cool to go see that whole world that like they recreated, dude. It's phenomenal. 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I mean, and you were talking about the Hagrid ride, right? Where it's like the motorcycle ride.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool ride.
Yeah, I just actually, so side note, I actually just got done rewatching the entire Harry Potter series. I don't know why. I was just like on a whim. And it's been kind of just over time, where it's just, okay, I'll start a movie and, like, I won't even watch the movie full through, but sometimes I'll have, like, 30 minutes here and there. And what's interesting about that whole series to me is just how it starts off so innocent in the first couple, like, yeah, Chamber of Secrets, it gets a little whatever, but it gets so dark at the end. Like, it gets so dark at the end. I mean, it's a good movie series, and I feel like they did a good job with it. It's just like it takes some turns, and especially, so I watched it as a kid. I wasn't supposed to. I know you definitely weren't supposed to. You know what the funny part was? I remember the reason that I couldn't watch it as a kid was because they were like talking pictures. I remember that was like one of the things.
Really?
And like that, yeah, they were like, well,
that's the whole reason? Witch- I thought it was because of the witchcraft,
like,
and all that.
Well, that's what they said too. There's witchcraft, but there's like talking pictures. So like the pictures are demonic and all this other stuff. I'm like, I feel like you're missing the point. There's a lot worse stuff in that movie than that.
You want to tell the story about how your maternal unit, like, she let you watch the first two, but then after the second one, why she told you to quit watching it? Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So she told me to quit watching it because she said that there was a spirit that it invoked in me. Oh, man, I just won $12,000 off this slot machine. But she said, like, something about the scene where they're in the Chamber of Secrets, like, unleashed the spirit in me. And so I couldn't watch it anymore. And she said that I would misbehave every time after watching that movie. And I was just like, are you sure? Are you sure about that? And I can't not watch that movie, bro, and not think about that.
I mean, you know, call it what she wants, spirit, whatever. It was just bad parenting.
I mean, fair.
Which Harry Potter is your favorite, though? Which movie is your favorite?
So, I mean, the first one's really good. The fifth one is really good. Mm-hmm. The ones that I'm kind of like on are 3 and 4. Like, yeah. Prisoner of Azkaban is like, maybe it's because it's slow and it's just kind of the storyline's kind of interesting. And then the Goblet of Fire, it has its moments, but at the same time, pretty much it's like the whole entire time, it's just like Harry just having to prove himself and prove himself and prove himself over and over and over again.
I feel like number 4 is, it wasn't Harry Potter. It was like, let's just make this a pop culture, like, teen movie. That's what I felt like. Because all of them have, like, the long hair. And it was like, oh, yeah, like, the dance and, like, everything. It's just like, oh, okay. Yeah,
well, I mean, think about it. That's when Twilight was big, too. It was around that time when that movie came out. So they were really trying to do that. Like, don't get me wrong. I like the idea of, like, having a Triwizard tournament and stuff like that. And did I like some of the, you know, like, having to fight dragons and stuff? Absolutely. But there were just certain aspects of it that were just kind of okay. Like, I don't know why I like the fifth one, but it does kind of tick me off, though, about the fifth one, that old.
Yeah.
Well, it was that, and then old Dumbledore was, like, avoiding Harry the whole entire year. It's like, homie lost Cedric Diggory in front of his face, and, like, I understood why after this, but it's always just, like, you couldn't have gave him some help.
This was also the time where Dumbledore had to leave Hogwarts because he had to transport to Middle Earth to be Gandalf. That's my theory. Have you ever seen Gandalf and Dumbledore in the same place at the same time? No.
No. I
think they're the same person.
There you go. Wasn't there one movie about Dumbledore where it said that he was, like, gay or something?
That was in Fantastic Beasts. So that was, like, in the prequels, I guess, that they recently just made. But, like, in the actual, like, original 8 movies, that's not a thing.
Yeah.
They only injected
that little bit. The only thing that I will say, too, bro, I don't know why. Hermione and Ron getting together, I'm like, okay, that's kind of an interesting, and I'm sure it goes based off the books. I never read the books, right?
Yeah.
But I'm sure that goes off the books. But I'm like, Harry and Ginny?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm like,
okay, I don't know. I'd have rather him got with the Asian girl Cho or whatever. You know, it's like, I'd rather that happen. Now, no offense to Ginny, but it's just like, he going to get with, like, the younger sister to, like,
bro.
Maybe. That's kind of against the bro code, in my opinion. Like if you had a little sister, that's off limits. Like, even when we get older, like, that's off limits. I don't care. Like, nah.
Here's my thing. Homie was pulling left and right, bro. He was pulling left and right. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, Ginny, ooh. How do you feel about the new series coming out? How do you feel about that?
I heard some of the actors that didn't they say Cillian Murphy, whatever his name is, the one who did
Blindness.
Yeah, and Oppenheimer and all that other stuff. Didn't he? Oh man, I just want $50K from this. Nice
from the slots.
From the slots. Yeah, and he. I heard he's going to play Voldemort.
Oh,
I was like, well, that kind of fits. It's like, that kind of fits. He looks like it kind of already. Like, no offense, but
my feeling is, like, they're going to really try to recreate the magic of the movies. And they're not – anytime – I feel like now movies are just trying to recreate the magic of nostalgia. And it's like, bro, you can't recreate that. Like, just let it be. It's It's fine. It's fine.
Did you ever, she's dead now, but did you ever hear the interview that the lady who played Madame Sprout said? And which I thought it was kind of funny. Look it up. Of course, she was just a side character, but she was talking about how people have Harry Potter weddings and how people, you know, have all this, you know, theme stuff. Even at the London train station, you know, whenever it's supposed to be the day that school starts or whatever, they have a announcement for platform 9 3/4 and the train to Hogwarts, and a bunch of people show up, right, and cosplay. Dude,
yeah, people are nuts about it.
And she said, I don't understand it. She said, the movie's for kids. You ought to let it go. If you're an adult, let it go. She was harsh about it, bro. She's like, the movie was for kids. She's like,
think about it. Like, there are kids. Like, we were the kids. Now we're all grown up. So it's for us. Like, it's for us.
We're the kids. I just thought it was funny. She was just like, oh, man, I want another 12,000. Jeez, this thing is giving me some money tonight. But I just thought it was funny. It's just like she was roasting people. It was like, oh man. But for me, I'm like, if you want to have Harry Potter themed stuff, that's cool. It's whatever. Because I don't know. Even though it was for kids, some of the like the later ones were pretty adult themed. I mean, there's plenty of
like I said, we grew up with the movies, and so they. I mean, the books itself is dark. It's like I always saw the meme. It's like Darth Vader, and he's like, "Yeah, I took over a whole galaxy." And then it's Sauron. It's like, "Yeah, I took over a whole race of people." And then it's like Voldemort's like, "Yeah, I almost killed this one high school kid one time, or a couple."
Yeah.
And they're like, "That's it." And it's like, well.
Pretty much, man. What I think is funny too, I'm going to lead this into another story, and I'll ask you a question about AR reading in a second. Harry Potter was the book and the movie that made me realize that books and movies were not the same. They were not the same, and it was due to AR reading, man, because I remember logging on. And if you don't remember what AR reading was, it was this early computer program, you know, and it was full of tests for all the books that were in the library as an elementary school kid.
Yep.
I think we had it in middle school too, but we had a certain number of points we had to have every year. And so like you would have short books and they would be worth just a few points. But if you read one like Harry Potter or like 50 Leagues Under the Sea or 50,000 Leagues Under the Sea or whatever.
A lot of AR points.
Yeah, it's like you can get them all knocked out all in one go. And depending on what reading level you were would be how many points you'd have to get. And so I remember there was one time and it was just like, bro, if I take a test about the Sorcerer's Stone, I can get all my points in one go. And so I was like all right. I was like, I saw the movie. How hard can it be? And bro, the question, and I'm sure that they probably set this up of like, oh yeah, we're not just going to let them test out based on like movie questions. And so it was totally different in the book than the movie. And I remember failing that one completely. And they were on to me. I remember they even had a talk with me. It was like, we know you just watched the movie and tried to test it. Like, dang it. Mm-hmm. But that was the first time that I really realized, oh man, books are different than the movies. I thought the movies just went right off the book.
Yeah.
But,
I remember accelerated reading because if you got so many points, you got to like be part of you got an ice cream party, pizza party, like if you're a top AR reader, whatever. So this was before I went to C.T. Walker. This is when I was going to Rollins. And I remember like in first and second grade, I read so many books and like got so many points and everything. And again, I'm not trying to brag on myself, but it got to the point where it was like, okay, during awards day, they would just call my name like for every award. And like parents were getting like ticked off. They were getting really ticked off because like I was winning all the awards and their kids weren't getting called. And I remember like my parents like sitting behind this one group of parents and they were like, why did we even come here? This guy Christopher is just going to win all the awards anyway. And I remember my dad like looking at my mom and like they didn't say nothing, but like, and that's when they decided, like, hey, you probably need to go somewhere else, like to a magnet school. Because I was getting bored. Yeah. Like, I was doing timetables and then doing my AR test at the same time and answering the questions. And people were just like, yeah, we need to get this guy somewhere else because I was bored and I was just
right.
And I got made fun of and all that. But yeah, what was the one or a couple books you remember reading for AR points?
Oh man.
That you actually read.
that's the main question that I actually read. I remember reading this one and for some reason they didn't like check up every, I guess, 9 weeks or however long it like took to reset. I think it was every 9 weeks that they did, like, or maybe it was every semester. I don't remember, but they never checked up. And I remember there was this this book. It was like about some like barn cats. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Okay. It was like some barn cats, and I don't know. I just remember reading that, and it was really short, but it gave like a stupid number of points. So I like read it once, and after that, I would just take that test every time. And then one of the other ones, I tried reading 50,000 Leagues Under the Sea, and that wasn't happening. And then I remember reading one called The Prince and the Pauper. You ever read that one?
Yep.
And I read that one, and that one gave me a lot of points. And so pretty much, man, I figured out, like, hey, I can read these certain books and I can test out every single semester pretty much is what ended up happening. And so kind of the same thing. I remember, okay, you get your points. They would have an AR reading day. So it'd be like, if you hit your points, we'll have a pizza party. And I remember this one teacher, and I know she was trying to be cutting edge, right? And she said, really cool idea. She said, for all of you who hit your points, we'll have a pizza party. You can bring, and this is when portable DVD players were like coming out and they're really big. It's like, if you have a portable DVD player, you can bring it and we'll have a pizza party. And then you can make a fort. Like, you can bring like blankets and stuff from the house and you can make a fort. So I was like, all right, bet. So, me and this friend, shout out old Desmond. We had hit our AR reading points, and bro, I kid you not. So he brought like some like blankets and stuff, and I end up, we make this little fort, and I brought the portable DVD player with the limited DVDs I had. You know which DVD I brought?
Full Metal Jacket.
Nah, Fast and the Furious. Oh, and my. So, and the thing was, we didn't have headphones, right? And so it was just like racing sounds, and the first word is the S word. It's just like, and just happened. And I remember the party was over that quick, bro. It was that quick. We didn't even get through the intro. And she's like, what are you boys watching? And
she just let y'all bring it. She didn't screen nothing.
Nah, she didn't.
Like, oh, yeah,
she didn't.
They're not going to bring anything back.
Well, I guess she figured like, hey, your parents aren't going to, because I mean, you have to ask your parents like, hey, which in my case, I just grabbed the portable DVD player and the DVD case. Like, I didn't ask nothing. And so I'm assuming she just thought like, okay,
even if
ask their parents,
your parents would have been like, oh, yeah, it's fine.
And so I just remember pulling, you know, doing that up, and they were just like, no. And so I remember being so mad because the kids who didn't hit their AR reading points, basically the whole goal of that day was you're going to read all day and test constantly. Like, whenever you're ready to test for this, you'll go to the computer lab. So she still just made us read all day. And I was just like, but we don't have any tests to take. And she's like, I don't care. You're going to read all day. So, bro, it was so bad. So
that's so crazy. It's crazy and wild to me that your parental unit would not let you watch Harry Potter, but they would let you watch Full Metal Jacket
Fast and the Furious.
That's,
yeah, I don't get it, man. I don't get it. All the while, like, music wise, I couldn't listen to Sean Paul because he said hell.
Yeah,
I remember that was a thing. And which, listening to his lyrics, I'm like, that was kind of the least of the concerns, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was not a lot of continuity when it comes to, you can't watch this, you can watch this, and reason why. It was kind of, kind of subjective.
Do you remember the days when like movies, and maybe they were PG rated or G rated, but they didn't have any cuss words in them at all? Like,
oh yeah, totally
clean, like nothing at all.
I mean, even the Minecraft movie, one of the main songs I heard, the Jack Black song, where, well, I mean, they're all Jack Black songs, but what was it? Steve's Lava Chicken. He says tasty as hell. It's like, oh, that would have been like, oh no, like parents would have been banning that, boycotting that. And now it's just like, he said hell. Okay. It's
like, oh, okay. No big deal. Yeah. It's so crazy. Any other, like, as we're starting our descent, ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. We're starting our descent.
It's funny because I'm flying.
Are you really? That's so hilarious. Yeah, yeah. Any other, like, questions of, like, oh, man, I remember this about accelerated reading, or, like, just the movies or the time or anything related to that?
Man, there was a lot of good nostalgia. I think you kind of hit it on the head with a lot of the remakes that are going on. It's it's like there's a lot of nostalgia that's trying to be captured, but at the same time, I feel like it was just the time. And I feel like it's kind of the same thing with, and I mean, they were even doing it when we were kids, right? Like, I remember a Starsky and Hutch movie was coming out. It's like, there's no way you could recreate 70s and 80s movies and them feel the same or be the same.
Do you feel like maybe they're from like the 50s or 60s, but do you feel like there's a movie that does need a remake?
Bugs Life. No, I'm joking. I think that movie needs a remake. I'm joking. I don't think that movie needs a remake. Not really, man. I'm kind of the school, you know, we can leave well enough alone. I feel like, now don't get me wrong, there are some movies that I feel like the remakes just feel totally different, to where, okay, it was the same premise, but they're so different to where they're not even close to being the same. I mean, hey, we talked about Willy Wonka and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Now, the premise was the same, but I mean, like, the ending and the story was different. I mean, it's like in the Gene Wilder version, it's like you get nothing, you lose, yeah. Right? And you have this whole scene. And the other one, it's like, okay, Charlie actually wins, but he says, nah, if I got to be separated from my family, like, I can't do that. And, you know, it's like, so there's, I feel like, in my opinion, I liked that portion of it because that's pretty wholesome, you know, like compared to the other one where it's just like, oh, you and grandpa screwed up, so you don't get nothing. Like, yeah. I understand that aspect of it, but at the same time, it's like the other one is just like, even though I'm in a bad situation, if I can't bring my family, like, there's no point, kind of thing.
Yeah, and even like the added characters of like Charlie's dad, and then like Grandpa Joe is not as much of a
mooch.
Yeah, mooch in that one. And we talked about this before, but like, yeah, I went back and watched the Gene Wilder version. It's like, yeah, Grandpa Joe is kind of a really bad guy, like really bad.
He was. He's the villain of it all.
And then like the fact that Willy Wonka and his dad have a storyline, and we get Willy Wonka's kind of childhood trauma and this and that, like, that's also kind of a.
And it's funny because Christopher Lee's like his dad, and it's just like he's so against chocolate. It makes sense of why he's so kooky for chocolate now.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. And a lot of people did not like that version. I mean, a lot of people, you know, like the Gene Wilder version. And don't get me wrong, there's a place in everybody's heart for the Gene Wilder version, I feel like. But
that movie is pretty genius. Really is. I think so. It's not like anything that's been like, oh yeah, recent. But there are some like musicals that were made into movies from the 50s and 70s that I would like to see remade, like Oklahoma. They haven't made a version of that in a long time.
Did they ever make another version of Singing in the Rain?
No, dude, I don't know if they would even dare touch that. Like, Gene Kelly. His dancing is iconic in that movie, so I don't even know if they would dare
try to anything like that. That is my wife's favorite musical of all time.
Really?
Like she loves Singing in the Rain. And she actually, I think it's because, and you know, for musicals, I actually don't mind it. And reason is because there's a lot of humor embedded. Like a lot of musicals tend to be straightforward, but hey, there's a lot of humor embedded in it, which I can appreciate. But yeah, apparently she wore out like 4 VHS tapes of Singing in the Rain. Movie,
like his dancing scene is like impeccable. And apparently he was impeccable, I guess, as a person. And my wife was like, you're going to talk about this on the podcast, aren't you? She showed me one of her favorite movies, and it's an old movie from the 60s. And you might like it, but it's called What Happened to Baby Jane?
Okay.
Have you heard of that?
No.
So it's basically, essentially, it's the 60s movies, but Jane used to be like this child star, and her and her sister used to both be movie actor or actresses and big in Hollywood. And one night, Jane like hits her sister with the car and paralyzes her. And so they both fall out of Hollywood. And Jane's just like this washed up alcoholic hack who treats her sister like terribly, bro. Like she's in a wheelchair and like she forgets to feed her, like plays mind games with her, like forges her signature. Bro, it's wild. That movie had me on edge for like 2 hours and 13 minutes, dude. I was like, it was stressing me out. I was like, what's going to happen with this lady? Like, what the heck? But it was good. It was good.
Two movies that, before we go, two movies that I actually, and of course, they're both going to be, both are going to be Westerns here. But two movies that I actually liked the remake version versus the old one, True Grit. I liked the newer True Grit versus the older True Grit. I don't know. The other one, it kind of like the older one with John Wayne, maybe it was because the girl character was just so, she was so whiny. Like she was so, and I'm like, I understand that's what a lot of it's supposed to be, but like, I kind of like the new character where she's like in a time where that's not supposed to be. She was like determined, you know, like, man, I'm going to find out who my dad's killer is. I don't care if I get killed in the process. Yep. And I don't know. There was something, I mean, with a movie like True Grit, you would imagine that's what it's supposed to be like. And then of course, Jeff Bridges as Rooster Cogburn is iconic. And then 310 to Yuma, another John Wayne movie. That's like, you know what? I like the newer 310 to Yuma. You can't fault Christian Bale's performance. He's actually one of my favorite actors. Like, I really like Christian Bale. There's not been anything that I'm like, I don't like Christian Bale in this. Like, he does pretty good.
What a guy. So, what a guy.
He was Batman.
That's all I got, ladies and gentlemen, unless you got something else.
We'll keep talking all night as we fly and do other stupid stuff on Grand Theft Auto, but it's been fun. It's been real. I hope you've enjoyed our candid conversations about arrests, about movies, about amusement parks, and all the tales in between. We've had a good time. But yeah, go check us out if you're still listening to us on audio version at the Donut Box Pod. That's DOUGHNUT Box Pod. And you get to see our Grand Theft Auto terrible driving, horrible gambling skills, and our, you know what? I haven't crashed this plane yet. So you know what? We can't say anything about my flying skills on here. But yeah, it's been a really fun episode. I really enjoy just playing video games and having these candid conversations, because this is really kind of how life is with Chris and I normally. So it's pretty fun.
Yep.
But yeah, man, I'm ready to tie this thing up.
Yep. I'm Chris.
And I'm Micah.
And this has been the Donut Box Podcast. Love in my heart that I'm feeling for you.